Hey, housewives, come on in. You know the dirty dishes are still in the sink from yesterday and the laundry is still in the basket. Pop your AirPods in and make yourself at home here.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Tori.
And we are your Unlikely Housewives. Stepping out in faith and believing that God calls the unlikely, we are here to show you the appreciation and validation you deserve, lead you to authentic relationships, and release you of believing the cultural lies to restore your faith and wellness.
Pull up those high-waisted yoga pants, tighten your top knot, and reheat your coffee for the third time. Turn up the volume and let's go. Hey, housewives.
Hey, hey, welcome back.
We are back at it with another fantastic guest for you. And I would love to just say how incredible God is in our relationships, that God has given us these connections in our personal life and then gotten them to this podcast. I almost want to say that he's had us meet people just for our podcast, which is so weird to say, because we're having conversations. We get to have conversations that more people need to be listening to and be talking about, because it's not out there. Mm-hmm. And so this is a perfect example of someone we've wanted on the podcast for a long time, but it's in God's timing and his schedule, not our own. And so I'm going to let you introduce her, Tracy.
Yeah, well, I have my dear friend Suzanne here. And I'm so excited that we have a chance to have a conversation on air, because I can't even tell you how many conversations we have had off air about this topic. And I have said over and over, this is a message for so many men and women. But a formal introduction. So my friend Suzanne is married to Mitch. They've been married for 20 years. They have three beautiful children. One is one of my daughter's very best friends. And we have a mutual friend who connected us. And I just love that the three of us can encourage one another where we are, the seasons that we're in, and the greatest gift of friendship and in these relationships that God has blessed me with, especially with these two ladies, is that you can hold each other to the fire of what it is that God wants out of us personally and in our marriages. And we have someone to go to when we're weak and we need encouragement. And both of you have been that for me. But we're so happy to have Suzanne here to share all of her wisdom. She is self-taught. She has done the work. She has some personal experience. She is in the Word. She listens to so many sermons, so many podcasts. She is continually learning. And I think it's such a gift for you to be able to just share that with others. Her passion, you guys, is biblical masculinity and the biblical design for marriage. And those are the topics that we're going to actually just flow with today. We're going to let God just control this entire podcast.
Good. That's what I've been praying for. So please give me the words.
Yeah. And we just have to trust that.
I trust that a lot more than you do. Tracy needs an outline. Most of the time I'm like, let's go. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. There's a purpose in that too, though.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Otherwise, we could be talking about squirrels.
We could. And we could. There's all kinds of squirrels. But
tell us your personal just story, marriage, how you got here.
All right. Where it all began, 2015, my marriage hit just a rocky spot. And I married a good man. And we just had some challenges. So it just drove me to want to know more. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know more about men and what a biblical marriage is supposed to look like, because we sure thought we were doing everything right. But I had really young babies at the time, long days at home. He was building his business and we were ships in the night. We were completely out of alignment with each other. Actually, I would say with our faith. I was pretty deep in my faith at the time. I was in a Mornings for Moms group. We were in a couples life group at Colonial Presbyterian. But
how funny, that's where Andrew and I went when we first got here.
Really?
Yeah.
What year was that?
We started in October of 2018.
Okay.
And then we were there until COVID.
Yep, us too. So we were more like 2008 to COVID.
Okay. Yep. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How so funny. So we've probably crossed paths a thousand times on Sundays.
Yeah. All my babies went to preschool there, and
Yes.
Yeah.
That was how we got connected to Colonials. Yep. When we were moving up here, the preschool came highly recommended.
Oh, my word. Incredible. So, yeah, we were under mentorship, unofficial. We had some really like strong heavy hitters in our life group that we admired and that truly inspired us to grow in our faith. But again, I would say at the time we were going through the motions. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until God allowed our marriage to struggle a little bit that he got our attention in such amazing ways. And I would love to go more into that. It's kind of hard to know how far to go.
Yeah.
Because I got to protect the dignity of my man and our marriage. But yeah, he allowed some things to happen. And man, did it hold purpose. I cannot even tell you the ways that he has used our story to walk with other couples, all God breathed. Started with these women who were struggling in their marriages that were just placed on my path. And I just developed such a passion for understanding how is this supposed to work. And I would argue that the church has kind of done us a disservice in that area of marriage and biblical masculinity and what that's supposed to look like, how we as women are supposed to come alongside our men and honor them for our good and God's glory.
Eric Metaxas, Letter to the American Church, came out with a documentary based on the book. And one of the speakers in the documentary is Victor Marx, if I remember correctly. Okay. I believe him and his wife are the leaders of the All Things Possible Ministries. But one of the things that he said in that documentary that made me just like, whoa, that's a good point, is that the church has done such a disservice to men in the fact that they hand them bulletins and say, pass these out on Sunday and have them opening the doors. Yet these are men who God created to be conquerors and warriors.
Yeah.
And we've stripped, like, here, open a door and pass out a piece of paper. That's not where they need to be. And the church needs more of those biblical roles, biblical manly roles for them. And I was like, wow, that's right. I mean, that is kind of just yes, we do need greeters and passing it. Somebody needs to give the bulletin out. To expect a man to be that being his area of service and that's it.
And I think I'm so big on mentorship in general, but when I know somebody, a pastor I follow up in New York, John Tyson, I know he's working on a series for men.
Yeah, right? I listened to his this morning.
Yeah. So these men, they were wired and created to fight and protect and to lead. And then I would love to see more biblical masculinity modeled and mentored for our younger men within the church and even outside of the church.
Well, because our country only does, our country, even the non-believers, even the non-Christians, founders of the United States of America, they knew that our country was only going to be that much better if the believers and they had moral integrity and values of Judeo-Christian values.
Yeah.
And they knew that. I mean, Ben Franklin believed in God, but was not a Christian by any means. But he knew, he goes, if we have more believers like you guys, he goes, our country's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But that's where we've lost.
We are so far from
having those values. Yeah. And they just keep getting stripped away. I mean, Tracy and I have talked about how essentially culture today is telling our children that our husbands are the bad guys because they're middle-aged white men.
Mm-hmm. Like, they are under attack right now.
And it's like, how do I raise two girls to lovingly look up to their father and want and see their father as the leader of our house spiritually? And when they walk outside our doors, they're like, well, because your dad's middle-aged and a white man, he's racist, he's a bigot, he's got white privilege coming out every pore and da-da-da-da. Hold on.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of conversations with my 9 and 10-year-old that I never would have had. I mean, you never would have had those growing up either.
Nope.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's confusing. It's conflicting. My husband and I are so passionate about modeling what this is supposed to look like. And for him, the way he pursues his, particularly his two girls, just that when they go out, they're dating, they know that these are the expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And
how old are your girls?
16 and 12.
Okay. So they are on that.
I mean, obviously my 16-year-old's been out dating, and we talk at length about we avoid mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I already pray for the spouses of my kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I have been since they were little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I tell my daughters this all the time, I'm just praying for a godly man.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Well, and I think, not to go off on a tangent on that, but I mean, I think when we are looking at current divorce rates and we're looking at the current situation of our future dating world pool for our children and where the culture has taken us, the Christian pool group, the coming from a solid biblical marriage example, it just isn't there.
My passion for all of this, kind of three ways. My parents divorced when I was 16. I have a really broken relationship with my father, and I have this amazing relationship with my husband, and then I'm raising a man, my 18-year-old son. Mm-hmm. So that's where my passion comes from, is what I don't want it to look like, what I need it to look like, and then how do we model that for my son, which my husband does an incredible job at doing. And then, you know, and I have conversations with my son often about my role as a wife and what that looks like to honor my husband and
the big picture of the modeling, and the when we aren't modeling, the openness of, hey, we're not doing great here. And a lot of it is talking about it with our kids, because that generation before us, whether you had it or not, didn't talk a lot about struggles.
No, they were afraid of vulnerability, particularly men.
And,
real men don't cry. Well, statistically, from what I've read, men cry more than women. They just do it in hiding.
Yeah.
And so our men are struggling.
Well, and then why do you think the shortest Bible verse is Jesus wept?
Yeah. One of my favorite.
I mean, and that, and you just saying that, it's funny that my daughter brought that up this weekend, but I just think, like, he modeled it. God modeled it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he,
compassion.
And just that you can have the emotions. I think that we have, the pendulum has swung so hard the other direction that.
Which pendulum?
The one about emotions. Okay. There's so many going on. I feel like it's just like the ball's going back and forth on the little
That's
desk.
That's what she said.
That is what she said.
I knew I could fit it into this.
And I'm disappointed I didn't say it.
Yes. Well, I'll give you a chance.
Let's get to that part. But like, the emotions are so far, like, you have to feel everything, and feelings mean facts, and when at the same time, you're like, your feelings are valid.
Sure.
You can feel your feelings, but don't let your feelings rule you.
Yeah.
They also do not create your reality, and people are getting lost in what reality is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not what we had talked about, but clearly listening to God just lead this. But speaking on the vulnerability piece, my husband and I recently had an aha moment around that. We've been in therapy for a while, which has been amazing for our marriage, and we're still in it. And yes, good marriages can still be in therapy. I would like to encourage that, because it really does help with a lot of the healing and the uncovering and the processing. One of the areas we were talking about, though, with my husband, is that's a place for him to be vulnerable. It's safe. It's secure. It's a platform, right? He also was able to be vulnerable at his grandma's funeral and showing emotion. And it wasn't sadness. It was actually extreme passion. He did an incredible job from the pulpit talking about his just joy knowing his grandma was with Jesus. Like, they're like, her faith was beautiful, and he learned so much from her, and he was able to talk about that. And he had so much emotion. And he said, he just had this big aha moment. He said, why is it that men are only taught to be vulnerable when there's a platform and a purpose for it?
Mm.
And I was like, wow, that is really big. Because I said, do you need permission? And he goes, I don't know if it's permission. I said, because if so, I give you permission to be vulnerable every
day. Absolutely.
And he's like, I don't think that's it. We're still trying to get to that. Like, why does it have to be a platform? Why does it have to be a place that is okay for you to show emotion?
Yeah.
Well, and I think that they forget that the biggest platform they have is within the four walls of their home.
For sure. Yeah.
And that's their platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, we go through every single day, like, motherhood is my ministry. There's that big push right now, which I 1,000% agree. Like, you don't know, you very well may be raising the next Billy Graham. God bless you, mamas. And that's amazing. Don't gloss over your motherhood years of when those kiddos are in your house.
Yep.
However, men, yet they still leave every day to go to the office, but their ministry too, their platform is still in the home. And what we just talked about, their job is not only to provide, but to be the spiritual leaders of our homes. And that, I mean, think about, I mean, COVID has flipped our world upside down, but most men are gone from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. And how do you spiritually lead your house when you're gone for 40 to 60 hours a week?
Yeah. It's in those moments, and they go out and they work all day, not to get into the biblical roles maybe quite yet. But one thing I learned in a marriage retreat that my husband and I went to down in Dallas was they are grinding all day. So when they come home, part of my job is to create an atmosphere of, okay, you're home, take a deep breath, calm, kind of the lights are dimmed, might be a candle on, not always, but sometimes dinner. I hate cooking, if you know me.
Oh, you're praise the company. Lord, you're in great company. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So.
But we're doing it.
We're trying.
Yes. Yeah. I did cook last night. Let's make that on the record. I did cook last night. So
congratulations.
Thank you. That does deserve
That's
a congratulation.
Such a win.
So few and far between.
So when you were talking about, where did they find those moments? And it's hard. And one thing, and this is a battle for us, and Tracy knows this, is I try to teach my kids, and I use the word honor a lot, the man's number one need being honor and respect. So a place where my husband tries to really spiritually lead is on Sunday to get to church. And Tracy knows this. 9 times out of 10, I don't have all three of my babies there. It's something we're navigating. I've got 18 and 16-year-old. And last weekend, we had 2 out of 3, and that's a win. But he tries so hard to model that and encourage that, and always tell my kids, I mean, he is trying to shepherd these little souls. There was one day I mentioned this to my middle kiddo, and I said, he's got to answer to Jesus for that. Like, the weight that the men carry to spiritually guide their families, to provide the sacrificial love. I mean, the Bible doesn't make suggestions. I mean,
can we just pause on that? The Bible doesn't make suggestions.
Jesus commands. He doesn't ask.
But he tells us, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it will be opened for you in his Father's will. So that is something.
Yeah.
But that shows us where we are in the scheme of things.
Yep. And it's so easy for when we fight these teenagers and we need you at church. This is not a punishment. We want you in worship. We want you with us. And sometimes they can receive it. Sometimes they can't. There's always something that tends to get in the way, but it's something I'm always trying to, again, go to bat for my husband by encouraging the kids. And I think that's something too, that a lot of people have taken their eyes off of, is it's God first, then it's your spouse, then it's your kids.
Yeah.
And so, so many women, and I was one of them, this was marriage before I knew this stuff, and marriage after, is
no, say the word submission.
Submission.
Oh, we were talking about that. Before we hit record, the dirty word of marriage is submit and
Absolutely.
Submission.
Yeah.
And we talked about how I would even dare to say, I know the day and time that I submitted and like when I started to submit to my husband.
Yeah.
I also can tell the difference in my marriage when I submitted my whole life to Jesus. Mm. Those are two. And then when there was no submission at all.
Yeah.
Like those are three very distinct periods of my marriage in the last 16 years. And I can very clearly tell you when those dates are. And I would even dare to tell you that, sorry to go off on this, but my brother-in-law is the one who married us. He's a pastor up in Omaha, Coram Deo Church. I love our brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and he married us and he wanted to do premarital counseling with us. And that was something that Andrew and I said, We love you. We would love for you to marry us, but we're not going to share our dirty laundry with a family member in that way. So give us a different counselor and we'll do pre-marriage counseling, which we did. And it was great and very eye-opening for us and definitely started conversations that we continue to have 16 years later.
Oh, yeah. Because it's a journey.
Yeah. And God reminds you and goes, hey, remember when we talked about that? Mm-hmm. And then one of the things that we did not include in our vows was the word submit. I remember exactly where we were. We were on Andrew's back patio and Bob was asking us, he's going over the vows with us. And he said, do you want me to use the word submit? And at that time, we decided no.
Or him or together?
That is a great question.
You don't know the answer to?
I'm going to leave it at that.
All right.
But it was something that, I will say this, we both decided that it was best if we did not use that word.
Because there wasn't an agreement on it.
Not necessarily. There was...
I'm trying, people.
I know. I know. And
all right,
I can't.
Can y'all just message her privately after this?
Yes, you can message me privately after that and I'll send you that.
Okay.
Reason why. But you, like you said, it's the dirty word of marriage is submit and submission. And it's something that people fight with today.
Well, and I think it's a challenge because of what it means. It means as women, we feel challenged by the word submission. We feel inferior, possibly, or less than, and it's not what it's there for.
It's not what it's there for.
At all. And we've struggled with it ourselves, but it is something that we have to look at the big picture. We have to look at God's design for biblical marriage, and it has to be something that we are pursuing because it is a challenge because culture's telling us something else. Just our own innate woman, hear me roar business teaches us.
Hashtag girl boss.
Yeah. Like there's so many reasons that distract us and pull us and cause us to want to be more than our man.
Yeah.
And that's not what Jesus tells us.
That whole movement has, again,
feminism has destroyed biblical marriage. All right.
Thank you.
And I'm going to drop this grenade because I'm going to anyways. There should not be a woman president. Period. End of story. I would even debate that there should not be a woman in Supreme Court. But you can message me and send all your emails to
another private message.
Tori. Not unlikely housewives.
Tori.shira@gmail.com. Email me your comments. Great. Oh, got it.
That's going to be fun and interesting.
Yeah.
Follow up. I'll
let you know how that goes.
So the submission piece, women think that it's somehow derogatory or that we're less than, and it's not the case.
Well, the enemy has given us that idea.
Yeah.
Like he's worked for years and years and years and years to make us feel that our place in the home, barefoot and pregnant, is some kind of insult.
No, it's not. It's such a
honor, beautiful.
And blessing.
Can I do it again?
I know,
just kidding, but
I was going to say, Chris, did you hear that?
No. It was just my favorite time of life.
Yeah.
I love it now too, but I loved being pregnant.
On the flip side, I will say there are those of us, because I know women who have all they could dream of is being a wife and a mom, and that's all they wanted. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And I will speak very loudly to the mamas where that is not your, you dreamed of a briefcase and dropping the kids off at daycare. Yeah. There's also nothing wrong with that. God made you individually, you and as a mama. And I know that there's a lot of guilt when those mamas are working they're told, this is not biblical, be home, stay. And I have felt that. But that is something that, know that God made you just the way that you are. You may have natural motherhood tendencies. You may not. That's still beautiful. And that's exactly what God intended.
Yeah. And the challenge with that, and I can't speak to this as a working mom, but from what I've studied, is you just can't take your eye off your family.
Right.
You can't go out there and conquer giants and not be the woman and the wife that you need to be to your husband first and foremost, and then to love and guide your children. And this is a whole nother episode altogether. These kids are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
These teens are struggling. That motherly role, it's needed, desperately needed. Mm-hmm. Availability, encouragement.
Let's go back on the hierarchy. Mm-hmm. God first, spouse second, kids third.
Yeah.
Would you say that the culture shift from people focusing on their marriages, like their spouses having a completely different level to then all of a sudden now they want to be their kids' friends, that all of a sudden the scheduling shows that the kids are the world dominate, the world revolves around them, their sports, their activities. We're doing everything for the kids. We got to make sure that he gets a scholarship for college. Like how those, just those two things in a family dynamics, not even destroying the family, but just those two things in family dynamics has done almost irreversible damage culturally.
Yeah, it's a misalignment. The alignment piece, there's going to be a lot of things that I say that I want to give credit where credit is due. Matt Chandler is one of my absolute favorite pastors that I have followed for years. And he's one of the reasons and one of the first ones I got into studying marriage. But he hits this, just this image that he's always given me. And right alignment is like when you button up a shirt, you start at the top and that top button is God, your relationship with Jesus, that second button being your spouse. I've been in a marriage where Mitch was not my second priority, where it was all about the kids and it was all about competitive soccer and travel baseball and this and that. And then thankfully we are past that. My kids are no longer active in all those sports and I got my marriage back. I mean, we were intentional and we learned this again in 2015 when our marriage was fractured. We had to pull back and say, something's off here. And I could go back into all that, a lot of that. Our game changer was praying together. And that's another something we could talk about. But once I figured out that I was misaligned and I was not giving enough to my marriage, I was not meeting my husband's needs in any way, it was very convicting for me. And so we were very open with our kids that we get away together often, two, if not three times a year, whether it's the Elms. We take big trips in January. We took a big trip for our 20th, but we started teaching our kids that we love you. We would do anything for you, but the best thing that we can do for you is keep this marriage together because we dang near lost it. So we like realigned ourselves with the God first, the spouse second, then your kids.
So I would ask, did you guys come together and say, hey, we're both in a bad spot? Or were you on equal footing on both realizing that there's brokenness in here? I can attest to there was a time in our Andrew and I's marriage where we both acknowledged that something was broken and wrong, but he was not ready to work on it together.
Yeah.
Intentionally. We had to do our own processing and a separate. I had to work on my relationship with Jesus. And so what about for you guys?
So that's what's so interesting is I was so consumed with little kids and home all day that I did not realize how broken we were. It was not till my husband came to me and said, I'm hurting. I am struggling. I am battling this demon. There was such a grieving that took place because I wasn't aware of what he was battling. I'm being very vague here. I'm trying to kind of protect him and his dignity because, like I said, if you know my husband, he is an incredible man. I didn't realize how broken we were. I didn't realize how far apart we had become. When he came to me, he vowed, I can be better. And I remember these words. I can look back now and I hate that he felt that. And this is why I'm so passionate about shame with our men, because he was doing the best he could, but he was like, I want to be better. He at the same time knew that there was more for him. And I tell my kids this all the time and like encourage men in this too, is that I always say, do better. There's more for you. And it's not to insult you, but I know the God behind you and what he's designed you for. Anyways, he came to me and he was like, I want to start praying with you twice a day. He kind of vowed to be that spiritual leader because at the time I was leading him, which is fine. You know, I filled the gap on that when I had to. I made sure that, you know, the kids got to church and preschool. We were very involved at Colonial at the time and Vacation Bible School and all the things. But man, when God captured his heart, everything switched. And then he started being the spiritual guide in our home. Once he stepped into what God would have for him, he started to thrive. So all that shame that he was battling was gone. And just any confusion, it's like we both kind of stepped into our roles.
How can we prevent that moment of brokenness? I mean, and just let them know, hey, I don't want you to feel the shame. And I know that you've expressed that you want to do better. Mm-hmm. And I know you have goals for our family. Yeah. I know you have the Holy Spirit within you and he's talking to you. But like, how do we support them in that without trying to be their Holy Spirit at the same time?
Absolutely.
That's my toxic trait.
Ooh,
my husband's Holy Spirit.
I think we've all got that. Again, my favorite quotes from Matt Chandler, the Holy Spirit gives the inner man the strength to fight the wars. And we got to let the Holy Spirit do its work, where I think so many marriages are missing the deep connection. So it's asking the hard questions. My husband's actually really good at this. He always says, okay, so how's your heart? It's not just how are you or how's your day? Because that's so general and everybody's just going to say, it's okay, it's fine. But specifically asking questions. So you got to know more. You got to study your husband. Like, who did he have lunch with today? So ask about that. How's lunch with Bob? Again, you're honoring and respecting him by pursuing his heart in that way. There was this quote that the only way a man receives love is through the honor and respect. That is just the way God designed him. So it's ask him questions, pursue him. And my word, like, you know, pursue him sexually. Make sure that is a missing component. I can't tell you over the years, all the studying I've done and how many women I've talked to where they can't remember the last time that they had physically connected with their husband.
In general, or that they initiated it?
In general.
Wow.
Which, so, and that's something that those of us who have.
Okay, for the record, Andrew, I'd just like you to know, I'd like you to hear that. And so while I know it's not as much as you would like, it's more than that.
I think it's always never as much as they would like.
Okay, there we go. Fine.
As long as we're meeting the needs.
But again, that's another thing. Have that conversation.
Yeah.
That's okay to say, how many times do we need to connect this week? And that's going to vary. But I'm telling you, the temptation anymore with porn and these hookup apps, and nobody wants to think that's not going to happen in my marriage. But oh my word, let me tell you, the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
He will seek and destroy these men.
I even say that, like, culturally, people have made it so okay? Well, it's just porn. It's just naked people.
Yeah.
But like the studies, hundreds of studies now that talk about how it rewires your brain.
Yes.
How
it talk about toxicity.
Yes. Yeah. And how when it is repeated over and over again, it rewires your brain to where you can't even experience physical pleasure because it has to be visually. I mean, and how damaging it is. But it's just like, it's just porn. Oh, no big deal. Or this sex scene in a rated R movie that's absolutely pointless.
Right.
And you're like, this really, where did this add?
Well, there's content. So many points to that. Something to remember too is, and this is why porn is so addicting, is our men are very visual creatures. They want to see. And so that was something I learned too. And I know a lot of women, the body shaming of themselves and all the things, but it is something to consider. But it is okay. I mean, God created you the way he created you. And the visual piece is important. And then I wanted to speak to, you said something else. It's become so normalized, but I will tell you, and Matthew, the book of Matthew is very clear on this too. Lust is lust. And so whether it's pornography or an affair, if his eyes are not all on you and
honoring and loving his wife,
then you're out of bounds. You are out of bounds. So
that goes for women too, because I would say porn for women is romance novels and chick flicks.
Yep.
Because it sets unrealistic expectations. Yes. And that's what pornography is anyways. I believe unrealistic expectations of pleasure. And for women, I mean, I remember a season of romance novels reading and things like that.
Yeah,
and
I fell into that trap.
And it was just, or chick flicks as a teenage girl. Yeah. Can we talk about all of our love affair with Noah from The Notebook?
God,
can you?
So cute.
I know. Or Titanic. Anybody out? I mean, and Leonardo DiCaprio. Okay. Yeah. Those are the things that, like, women can very easily get sucked into because all of a sudden we're telling ourselves, well, why isn't my man like that? Well, why isn't my husband doing that?
Totally.
Or I want a boyfriend like that.
Yeah. It's the expectations that we tell this story of ourselves of this is the way our man should be. And we lose the grip on how incredible our man actually is. I want to pause and just encourage women. If you are struggling here in this, in sex, in hormones, in your self-image, or whatever it is that you're struggling with, I know how hard it is to step into that uncomfortable space and have a conversation with your husband, but it is a must. Yeah. It is so important to let them know, I know your needs. For some reason, my body isn't working, or here's how I'm feeling, or let them know, because what they're actually telling themselves is that you don't love them.
Yep.
I mean, they need sex. Or they need honor and respect. They are absolutely thinking, I'm not good enough. My wife's going to leave me, yada, yada, yada. You need to honor them enough to tell them, hey, this is what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And if you have a struggle, a battle, something that you've dealt with in the past, I want to encourage you. I did the study myself, and then I led a study years ago. It's called the Passion Pursuit Study. Julie Slattery, I believe, is the author, and Linda Dillo, I believe. I'm going to put it in the show notes so I make sure that you guys have it, but it is an incredible study. Get yourself a group of women to walk through together. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it is so purposeful. It is so intentional to just rewrite that story of what passion in your marriage can look like. Yeah. Because I can tell you, it can be good, ladies. It can be so good.
Yep. Even over 20 years. Yes. And the thing with that too, is, and there's a word for that, the mingling of souls. It's the Hebrew word dod. And so much happens when you connect with your spouse sexually. It's just, it's an area that's overlooked. I don't have time for that. I don't have energy for that. But that constant pursuit of each other physically, emotionally, mentally is so vital.
Yeah.
It's so vital. Because again, and it's, I mean, I hate to be all dramatic about it, but if you don't have that healthy peace in your marriage, he's going somewhere else. And whether that is scrolling Instagram or porn or something else, we have walked with some couples who have battled infidelity. And I'm telling you, you put Jesus in the middle of it, anything is possible. He can restore. If that's your story, mm-hmm. if that somebody has been battling infidelity in their marriage or suspected infidelity, yeah, there's hope.
Well, and I think I want to encourage women too, that you may not need the sexual and physical connection like your man does.
Yeah.
But what you need is the emotional intimacy that comes from sex with your husband. And so when you are not connecting with your husband, you may think, oh, I don't need sex. Mm-hmm. But if you're struggling, you're trying to find that emotional connection somewhere else.
Yeah.
You may just be talking to someone. You may be seeking that emotional support from someone else and thinking that it's innocent because you're not having sex with them. But it's the same as them looking, lust is lust, right?
Like lust is lust. Anger is anger. And on that piece, the emotional connection, I mean, the chemicals that are released. Yeah, it's like nursing a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, it is your body. The way God designed it, you connect deeper on every level with your spouse.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that you said I wanted to just kind of go back on is we're kind of talking here for women to really be hearing us, realizing how important our men and husbands are, how we can support them.
Yeah.
One of the things you said was like, study him, seek him. Yeah. And I actually just commented, someone's daughter was getting married on Facebook and she asked, what's your one advice like for them in getting married? And I was like, study your husband. Know him, know what makes him tick, good and bad. Know what sets his soul on fire. Mm-hmm. Know where he feels the most loved and the most free and most at peace, and invite him into that by knowing who he is. Like, let him know you see him. I think that's such an important piece because we're going to grow, we're going to change, especially as you become parents and life with teenagers, and it's a whole nother world in your marriage. You got to know where each other is going. And I can only speak to that because we've done the work and it does take work.
Yeah. Which, gosh, there's so much there because you got to know where you're going. That reminds me, got to have a unified vision. Again, this is from a study I did years ago. When you don't have a unified vision, you have division, which is divorce. Mm-hmm. So again, even goal setting and kind of when you say, so your man, what are your husband's hopes and dreams? Where is he trying to get you from point A to point B? Because he is wired to lead. Now, there are men out there who are punting on that responsibility and they're more passive. That's sin too. And I would say, study your spouse. And even if you have teenagers especially, there's one of my kids particularly that I just have to study because she's tricky. And she's going to know who I'm talking about her. Sorry, sis. For example, my husband right now, he's under a tremendous amount of pressure. The economy has been rough. We're small business owners. He does an incredible job of leading his people, but he is carrying a weight right now. And I've had to watch him battle this, really what seems like kind of months on end. But if you know my husband and you've ever sat with me with a glass of wine and he comes home, he usually comes in humming or whistling. Mm-hmm. So that humming and whistling stopped not too long ago, which was a red flag, not only for me, but even people in his office where something's up. And it's because he's been overwhelmed. If you see your spouse is kind of doing things that are maybe out of step with what they're normally, like pull them aside, like, you doing okay? Can I do anything? And the other thing too, the heart posture of how can I help you? What can I do? What can I do to take this weight off of you? And so again, that's that posture of humility that we're all called to as followers of Jesus. And that's circle back around to submission, because when you have that posture of humility, you're laying down your own needs and wants to lift up the other. You can also lay your needs and wants down.
Yes, you can do that too.
Yeah. And the thing is, that is to be reciprocated. For a man to, like, biblical masculinity, when it is sacrificial love, he is also laying down his needs and wants. Mm-hmm.
Who's the author of Love and Respect? That book is, again, I went through that book. It's talking about how the Bible specifically says, wives, respect your husbands. Men, love your wives.
Yes.
There is reason for that verbiage.
Yeah.
Exact verbiage.
Ephesians 5.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it goes off of that exactly in talking about what men see as respect. And for our men, it can be different. And sometimes it's like the little things that you do at home that you don't even know. Or sometimes it's just a joke you make in front of friends at dinner and you don't realize it.
Yes.
And those are all little things.
Just trigger shame. And
yes. Yeah. But one of the things that I got more specifically from that was, it does not matter whether he deserves respect or not. And that is where it's like, oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to give him respect until he starts to love me. That one really hit me that even though God still asks me to respect him, whether he deserves it or not.
All right.
And how hard and humbling that is. Mm-hmm. To bite our tongue and going, I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this because God asked me to.
Yes.
And that changes your perspective on things. And you can go, okay, I'm looking at the bigger picture here. I could be so freaking mad at you, not even like you, but I'm going to show you the respect that God asked me to show you, because that
and
was his command.
Let me say, though, you can't if you aren't walking with God.
Oh, 1,000%.
You need your time with him. You need to be filled with him so that you can respond that way.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're going to respond with bitterness and anger and resentment.
And then I think that's, I mean, honestly, that's why I think that God brought me to that point in our marriage first.
Yeah.
Because God had to humble me and disrupt my life to a point to where I was like, okay, God, if you take this apart, then all I've got is you.
Yeah.
And then once I got to that point, he's like, now we can work with this.
Yeah.
Now you can love him and respect him like I've asked you to. Mm-hmm. And it's a completely different heart posture.
The side note on this is, if you are an emotionally or physically abusive relationship, obviously that's changing things. But
we acknowledge that most relationships are not, because I do feel that we have gotten to a point where we are using emotional abuse and narcissism as an excuse to let things go when things get hard. And I know that does not fit every situation.
Yeah.
And there are very real circumstances. And so please understand my heart on this, ladies and mamas and women, that the no-fault divorce ruling that Ronald Reagan started in California years ago, and then it went everywhere, has really given us an easy out.
Yeah.
And has allowed us to give up fairly quickly on things.
Yes. Yeah.
And emotions, like we went back earlier, we talk about emotions, everybody wants to say are facts. And then so they claim emotional abuse, like, duh, he's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, or she's not. And because women can be just as abusive as men emotionally and physically. I just think that we're giving up too easily on things.
Well, and it kind of goes back to that submission piece, which I had pulled up this verse really quick. It's submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So you're doing it because you've been called to do it. You're honoring your husband because you've been called to do it. The more you honor him with your words and your actions, the softer his heart will get. If you've got a husband who has a hardened heart, and that leads me to a man is going to respond to the root of shame with either lashing out in anger or withdrawing and pouting. If you've got like the kind of that passive stance, either of those two, neither of them are healthy, obviously. But again, it's like there's something there. There's a root there. And we could get into shame. I mean, I could talk about shame for hours, but
yeah,
you honor him because you're called to honor him. And he loves you and sacrifices for you because he's called to. I love the image of in the garden, God created man. And then he said, that's not good. It's the only time he said, that's not good. He needed a woman to come alongside the man. And it was taken out of his rib, which is under his arm, next to his heart, as protection, as sacrificial love. So the image of that is powerful for me because as women, our number one need is security. And that kind of goes both ways. And so even in the way that I lovingly and respectfully submit to my husband, I gain security out of that. I am so secure in my marriage. And it's because I honor and respect him in a way. It's like it's a two-way street, but so many women want to just demand their honor and respect, and they want to feel secure, but they're not willing to get their ego out of the way.
Yeah.
And
pride.
My word. And this can look different ways. Here's actually one of my favorite quotes in my Bible. Encouragement in the mouth of a woman is unbelievably powerful in the heart of a man. So the way you talk to your man, do not belittle him. Do not tear him down. He gets enough of that from 9 to 5.
Yeah.
He needs to come home. It needs to be life-giving. You need to find out what that love language is. Is it words of affirmation? Is it touch? Is it
quality time?
Acts
of service.
Yeah, gifts, whatever that is. And I'm reading a book right now called Love Him Well that you actually recommended to me, and I'm loving it. But it's just all these reminders that how can I love my man well? If he's being loved well, I am definitely being loved well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, the men listening, your wife, the Bible's clear, she should be like a well-watered vine. So how are you pouring into your wife? Never stop dating her, pursue her, get her flowers, that sort of thing. My husband, it's one of his gifts. He always gets the girls and I flowers. And he did not this year on Valentine's Day, and my 16-year-old called him out on it.
She was like, oh, Dad.
Yep. And I, God bless him. I know you're busy, babe, and I'm okay. But and Jill was like,
yeah, but expectations.
That's the thing. And you raise the expectations. I promise you, they will rise.
Mm-hmm.
Your man will rise if you raise the expectations, but at the same time, encourage him where he does well. I mean, even if it is, he took out the trash. Hey, babe, thanks for doing that. If he like did the dishes for you, I mean, whatever that looks like, just, oh my word, these men, they just, like we kind of talked about at the beginning, they are under attack. They are being torn down left and right, given a hard time if they are in the gym all the time and building these bodies. But that's what they're created to do. They have testosterone. They were created to be tough and built and protective. We need it more than ever. The men cannot do what they're called to do and wired to do if they've got a woman constantly tearing them down.
Doesn't it say there's nothing worse than a nagging wife in the Bible?
Yeah.
It's
better to die in the desert is what the Bible says
than
to have a wife who nags you constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's, again, that goes back to one, we're not as Holy Spirit, which, dang it, I applied, I was declined. But we go through, it's going back to reminding ourselves it's not about us. That's laying our cross down daily.
Yeah.
And like Tracy said earlier, if you aren't in the word, if you aren't, if your heart is not right with Jesus, like all this stuff becomes that much harder. And you can't do these things. And it is impossible to respect a man that is not deserving of respect. And you just, like you said, become bitter, angry, resentment.
Well, What is it that you said, Suzanne, before we started? You said, I know what it's like to have it in my marriage and not in my marriage.
Yeah.
Is that how you...
Yeah, it's almost like BC and AD.
Right, yeah.
A marriage before Christ and a marriage after Christ.
Yeah.
We had a great marriage up in from 2003 to 2015, and then we had a fracture in our marriage. And the minute we both committed to putting Jesus right in the center of it.
But I have a question. But at that time, you thought you were going to church 4 days a week, dropping kids off at preschool and going to church, taking them. Like, you thought that all of the... And the only reason that I am acknowledging that is simply because I was there.
Mm. Same, I was, but I think this is commonality. This is why we're talking about it.
Right.
This is what women are experiencing. Like, contentment, it's fine, but they're not pursuing each other. Apathy. I mean, in our country, our marriages, our education, everything. Apathy right now.
Yep.
But it's a completely different... It's like you said, I didn't realize I was going through the motions of going to women's Bible study, taking the kids to preschool every day at the church, showing up Sunday morning and saying hi to everybody. Like, I was going through the motions of all of that and hear me thinking that I'm doing good. I did my Bible study and blah, 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 without realizing that over here, my marriage is falling apart.
Well, that's the thing. I was on fire for Christ during that season. My kids were so involved, and I was involved with multiple groups at Colonial. And yeah, I think it was more, my husband definitely was kind of going through the motions of it. But it was not until, I've written about this a little bit, the game changer was praying together. But it wasn't until we came together and kind of, because we are one flesh. And so going back to like biblical marriage, God's design for things, you know, I had my faith and he had his version of faith, which... He's always been a believer. He grew up in the church, but he was not on fire for Christ like he is now. We were kind of missing a step. And a lot of that was prayer and marriage. That was a big piece, because ultimately the goal for a godly marriage is you are coming together for the gospel. Marriage is that perfect depiction of
Christ in the church.
Yeah. Christ in the church, his love for the church. So you are mirroring that. And that is a calling. Mm-hmm. So if you are mirroring and modeling what that sacrificial love looks like, you got to be all in. I mean, you can't just go through the motions. You have got to pursue your spouse and pursue their heart. I mean,
so would you say for a woman who feels like, I'm on fire for God, I don't think that my husband is in the same season that I am, what would you recommend for that?
That's a tricky one. And it'd be a great question for my husband.
Because that, and maybe that's part two of this. We get Mitch on here. Because I'd be curious, because again, there's that balance of you're not going to be a nagging wife. You're not their Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then is it, you got to let God break them.
Yeah.
And the timing of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can't push something into, hey, we're going to pray twice a day.
And it not be heartfelt.
Yeah.
As a woman, just... Like I said, for a while, I had to fill the gap on that. I had to kind of lead him and have worship music playing. I would love to say that I was praying for him in that season, but I wasn't. I pray for him now more than ever. Yeah, I would just, there's more for him. Like, so any man who is not my husband, well, there's always more for him too, because there's always more for all of us. And that's the thing too with marriage. Like, there's always more Jesus. There is always more of your spouse. You will never fully arrive until glory.
That's what that is something, I know we're getting long here on this episode, but that's something that is definitely a perspective that's changed in my life for the last 6 months, is that there's always more adventure. I look for it. Like, it is going to be an adventure until he calls me home, if I am up for it.
Yeah.
As long as I keep showing up where he asked me to show up, like, it's going to be fun. It's going to be better than I could ever have physically imagined myself. And as long as I keep doing that, then that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's always more.
There's always more.
There's always more until he calls us home.
Yeah. And even with your spouse, I mean, there's always more memories to be made, more connection, more conversation. Even 20 plus years into this marriage, I can't remember where we were. I think we were on a recent ski trip, and my husband was telling a couple stories that I had not heard yet. I thought I knew every piece of him, and I don't. Like, you don't. Every thought, every feeling, everything. Yeah. So, and we haven't even really touched on shame, but
That'll be episode 3. Yeah. We'll do episode 2 with Mitch and then episode 3 on Shame. We'll just do the Suzanne series.
Yeah, right? So, well, I mean,
Summer with Suzanne.
Oh, I like that. I was named after Suzanne Summers.
I think we just talked about this.
I think that was what we call it, prophetic, right there?
Yes, I think that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much being here and sharing with us and pouring into her. And because I just love how God uses community, because I know that there are things that you have said to her that she has poured right back into me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how God uses the things. And I just want to say thank you for your time.
Oh, my gosh.
There's so much more where all that came from. And this is a beautiful perspective of just this is absolutely how women should be talking in their Bible studies and together. And you are having struggles in your marriage. Yeah. It isn't. Yeah, I hear you. Oh my gosh, this is what's going on too. And tear down. No, it should be pause, pray, reflect, seek. Just keep going.
Let this be encouragement to husband. There are these conversations going on.
Yes.
There are. Not every Bible study is a bitch fest.
Yep.
And
we've talked about our husbands, and our husbands do know that we have surrounded ourselves with women who hold us to the standard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of loving and honoring our husbands.
And that we hold others to that standard.
Exactly.
That we're not going to let whatever's going on. No, we expect more of you.
Mm-hmm. Like, do better. Yeah.
There's more. So talk to your spouse. Let them know that if they have any trepidation about your Bible study or like they feel awkward at church and they're quiet around your friends, let them know, hey, they think that you walked on water, babe.
Yeah.
They know that you're not perfect, and they know
nobody's
that
nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect, but they also know that I would take a bullet for you all day long, multiple times.
Years ago, I made a list, and I keep it in my Bible, of the 10 plus things that I love about my husband. And it's an easy exercise. It's just super tangible, because we so easily can get caught up in the things that irritate us or their weaknesses. I mean, we all have it. We all have weaknesses. We all have vulnerabilities. Yeah. But it's an easy exercise. Write down, make note of the things that you love about your man and why you chose him.
That's so good. Yeah. That is a good action.
Yeah.
So write that list.
And then tell him.
Aww,
tell him the list. Yeah. I did that a couple weeks ago on our way to church. I was like, hey, babe, look what I found. I think you are.
I love that.
That's sweet.
We should do that exercise sometime. That would be healthy for us.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to challenge our housewives. We are going to share all of Suzanne's favorite resources, her books, some of the pastors that she's mentioned, some of the books that she's mentioned in a newsletter. So you have to go to our website, unlikelyhousewives.com, and subscribe to our newsletter to get that list. And you will get that in your inbox, because you may not need it today. You may not need it this week, but there will come a time when you're like, I just need some extra encouragement. I need some other resources. Yeah. I need another sermon to listen to. Who do these women recommend? And so we're going to have that for you, and you can share it with your best girlfriend too and say, hey, these are some new resources.
Yeah.
So check that out. And the link will be in our show notes as well.
Yeah. Aside from Jesus, it is the most important relationship in your life. So study, how do we do this? How do we do that? What's this supposed to look like?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Suzanne. Yeah.
Until next week, housewives.
Bye.
Bye.
Whether we made you laugh or cry today, we pray you feel appreciated, bolder and braver than yesterday, stronger and more faithful for tomorrow, and living in who you were made to be today.
Join our online community on Facebook, link in the show notes, and be sure to review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Until next time, housewives, we give you permission to walk confidently, free, and to be intentional in your slippers or stilettos.